time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hi, Mick Malloy.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well,
yeah,
we'll catch
good.
Up with you in just a minute. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah, you're a bit
really
hoarse.
Good.
A little bit.
Wow. Yeah, have a shave. You've grown a beard.
I'm going a bit hairy. Oh, I'm taking after the great man, Mick Malloy.
Yeah, you've got a long way to go.
I thought you were looking at me when you said I'm taking over you.
Oh, I will. Take the pebble from my hand.
Yeah.
When you can. Big show today. Guess what? We're going to revisit our brand new segment, Dave.
Oh,
come on.
What a dick.
It's up and running, and there's a few contenders.
Bad income.
We'll give you one. Well, no, we'll wait.
No,
we
keep it a
will
surprise.
Wait. There's a couple of bombshells, though, in What a Dick today. What else are you thinking of, Joan?
Bad parenting, I always like.
It's time to give it a run. I'm sure you'll bring plenty to the table.
And I'm sure you will, too.
I'm in a sweet spot at the moment.
Yeah, you sound like it.
Have done no wrong.
Although you did say that you wouldn't cook Nutella pancakes. So.
Oh, dear you. That was a private conversation. Jonathan Thurston swinging by.
Oh, that doesn't happen every day.
He's got a new book, allegedly. We haven't got it yet, but apparently it's in the works. So we'll speak to him about it. My old school chum, Andrew Daddo. We grew up together. Do you know that?
I'm aware of that.
The Daddos, the Raines, the Malloys, they're all from the same alma mater.
Can you believe that?
Andrew
and there's a lot of boys.
A lot of them too, yeah.
Andrew Daddo's in under his guise as an author today to tell us about his 25th book.
Really?
He's written a lot of books.
That's a lot.
I didn't realise so many. I've got something to bring up with Andrew.
To
do with the fishing, and being in a cabin.
Oh,
Andrew and I might have some.
I'll tell you.
You wait.
Jeez.
You wait.
That sounds a bit broke back mouth.
A little bit.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, I've told you I'm a mysterious woman.
You are indeed. We'll get to that. Have you met someone famous and didn't recognise them? That will come up, no doubt. What is going on in Adelaide?
The most bizarre ad.
There is a bizarre
ad. It's actually almost depressing.
We will get to the bottom of that and possibly come up with a better idea. And we're going to Perth as well, I'm afraid. There's a vegan over there who wants to ban a neighbour's barbecue.
This woman is fantastic.
She may feature.
She's going to win the Gold Logie, I predict, next year. I'm going to turn this woman into a superstar.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, all that and much, much more. But let's start at the top. Guys, what was last night? What did you do? Are you a bit hoarse? Were you out and about?
Yeah, went and saw Fleetwood Mac.
My goodness.
How was it, Jane? Because I know you've been waiting to see this cross.
I haven't actually gone yet.
What?
Last night it was my son Josh's 17th birthday. Oh, so we have
you put that ahead of Fleetwood Mac?
Well, I'm going on Saturday.
Wow.
Because everybody knows that I'm the biggest Fleetwood Mac fan in this building.
I knew that.
You've even designed a poster for this show around Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
I have to say, I've never seen Mick Fleetwood look better.
Mick Fleetwood's out here too.
They did that poster.
I mean, it's been doing the round. They're all out here.
You love drummers.
We know
you love drummers. Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Who else? There's another one here.
John Bonham.
Sting.
Rob Hurst.
And from Police.
Oh, yeah, Stuart Copeland.
Stuart Copeland.
He's a good drummer.
Yeah. They're my favourites.
But Mick Fleetwood last night did a drum solo for about 10 minutes.
Wow.
And just
did everyone go and get a beer?
No way.
Because that's not the case.
No, it was mesmerising. Neil Finn, in my opinion, stole the show.
I've heard he is stole just magic.
I just worry about Neil in that
vibe. Why?
Because they'll try and root him or something. We've heard about their background. They all used to sleep together.
Yeah.
They used to go berserk, take copious amounts of drugs. I don't want them corrupting our Neil.
Listen to that album Rumours, and you'll hear what sort of went on during that time.
That is my all-time favourite album.
It's a miracle they're still standing.
Completely. Well, 100%.
Well, that they aren't.
I can't believe my
Lindsay's not there, let's remember.
But one of the oldest rhythm sections in rock is John McVie and Mick Fleetwood playing together.
Let it go, mate.
Christine McVie on the keys.
Oh, her voice as well as Stevie Nicks.
You got Mike Campbell from Tom Petty's band. Oh, mate, it was so good.
Can't believe my tickets didn't arrive.
If you get the chance to
I've had this argument with
ticket.
You before. I don't believe they should be played on Triple M. I believe we're a rock network.
And that was thrown out the window within 2 minutes because the switchboard blew up of a whole bunch bunch of guys going, you're an idiot. Fleetwood Mac is totally in the wheelhouse of Triple M.
Even the crowd last night, what you'd expect like a band who's been around since the 60s, as Fleetwood Mac gave, you'd think it'd be
a really...
No,
let it go, mate.
I'm just saying.
It'd be an old audience.
How long did they play for?
Not 2.5 hours.
Why? They've only got two songs.
Oh, my God.
Well, they do play Tusk five times.
They didn't play Tusk last night.
What?
They might
play
that.
That's the only one I would have gone for.
If they played every song from Marimas, I'd just be ecstatic.
Oh, Jane, you're going to lose your... I can't wait for your review.
Hello.
I'm going with my best girlfriend from school, Pia. We're going to go and just... We're going to go off.
You will.
Yeah. I'm waiting on Metallica tickets myself.
Yeah.
Oh, you're coming with me?
Am I?
Mate, you can't go to Fleetwood Mac and Metallica. You need to make a choice.
Why not?
I'm a music lover.
You can't have a foot in each camp.
I had Neil Finn on My Generation last week, all around Australia, coast to coast. Check out your local guides.
You seem to get a lot of interviews we don't get. How is that?
Totally.
Because what is that?
How come
you had Alice Cooper? Did you have Alice Cooper?
Yeah, he's this weekend. Check out Alice.
And what about who else? Neil Finn. So what happens?
What?
You just like.
Make a call.
How come we can't speak to
you? Did you put in a word for your mates?
Well,
or?
Usually these interviews happen at times that you are unavailable. So I'm talking 9:30, 10 in the morning.
No,
if you want to come in,
to
that's right.
You tell Alice Cooper where to
Alice
find me.
Alice was 9:30 in the morning. So.
Hey guys.
Yes.
Coming up on the show, I'll tell you what I did today and it killed me.
Oh, can we do this after the break?
Yeah. Are we going to do it after the break or a bit later on? I was just going to give you a heads up.
Yeah. What have you done?
There's a show called The Proposal.
Right.
I've wasted an hour and a half of my life doing research for this show.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst show I've ever seen in my life.
Whoa, and you've seen a lot of bad
TV. I've seen bad shows.
You really have. We'll get to that. And I also believe you spent some time today assembling something from IKEA.
So many carpets.
I want to get to the bottom of that. But next up. What a dick. It's full as a goat.
What a dick.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jonathan Thurston's going to join us this hour. In the second hour, Andrew Daddo. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy.
What a dick.
You lead off. Kick off, Jane. We're going to the great state of WA, Perth. There's trouble brewing. What do you got?
Well, when I see the term frustrated vegan, I get excited.
Is frustrated necessary?
No. It's a tautology, surely.
It's a tautology.
It fills me with a little bit of delight. I don't have anything against vegans, but a frustrated one who's fed up with her neighbours because they're living their lives, that amuses me.
Yeah.
There's a bird called Scylla Carden, and she's really, really annoyed by the behaviour of her neighbours. And it was on a current affair. She doesn't have a listen to what's going on.
Not just annoyed, moved to take legal action in the Supreme Court.
In the Supreme Court.
Took it to the Supreme Court. That's what you have to remember.
So do you want to know what's bothering her? Let's have a listen to the story.
This isn't your average neighbourhood dispute. It's a battle between a vegan and meat eaters, a health-conscious massage therapist and the barbecuers next door.
They've put it so you smell fish. All I smell is fish.
Scylla Carden is vegan and she's fed up with the meaty smells coming from over the fence of her Girraween home.
I can't enjoy my backyard. I can't go out there.
She's also furious at cigarette smoke wafting into her yard. So angry, she's taken her right for a fume-free existence all the way to the WA Supreme Court.
What a dick.
I just cannot even get over this woman and this story. She told Nine News she believed her neighbours were absolutely deliberate in allowing their smells to cross into her yard. Now,
so outdoors now, the great Australian tradition of the barbecue, as a neighbour, you have to be careful because if you have a vegan who lives next door,
she's barbecuing fish, she's not even doing roast pork or a lamb on a spit.
Fish? Halibut?
Is it halibut? Look like snapper to me.
Snapper, I'll allow. Maybe sardine. A little sardine might be pungent.
Mickey, it's not only that.
Orange ruffy? What about orange ruffy?
That's not. We don't approve of orange ruffy in Australia.
Oh, right.
Why?
Because it's fished out.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they knew what was coming.
What a dick!
Thank you.
Survival of the fittest.
Can I tell you? It's not just the smell of meat and fish that's made her furious. It's the smell of cigarettes. But worse, the sound of children playing with basketballs.
People living a life.
That's what I mean.
What is wrong with people? This is a classic.
This woman is my new favourite person in the world because I can't even believe she's true. She's got to be an actress, surely.
I've seen her.
She has to be an actress.
She's a very angry woman. She stands there with her arms folded. It's not a good look.
She's continuing her legal battle anyway. That is one
What do you mean? She's taking it to the High Court.
Oh, she's moving on.
Do you know where this should be heard?
Where?
The food court.
What a dick.
Oh, that's fun.
What is wrong with it?
I'm mad. I'm angry hearing that.
Do you know what? If I was her neighbour right now, I'd be cooking up some bouillabaisse, some paella. I'd be inviting everyone around. I'd be having a hungy.
Have cigars.
Oh, have smoked cigars.
And have a basketball tournament.
And burning off.
Totally. Come on, kids. Everybody in the street. Get your basketballs and blood.
There's nothing better walking around a neighbourhood with your pets or whatever, and you smell a barbecue. It's like, oh, man. Yeah.
And there's nothing better than the sound of hearing kids playing basketball.
Having fun.
Oh, you want everyone on their fat asses playing on their games, do you?
And just cooking a bit of fish. Yeah. Surely that's good for
you. It's being healthy, isn't
it? Jesus, woman.
Okay, great.
Can I go on now? Yes. This one it gives me no great pleasure to do this. But I was watching last night's Have You Been Paying Attention? And it's now, I thought that's not on in the modern day, the modern era. And anyway, I thought, well, I'll keep it to myself.
Maybe I'll have a word
next time I see him. Tom Geisner. It's made the papers. The Daily Mail will run with
it. What has?
Last night in the show, you may remember a plus-size model, Robin Lawley, came on.
Again, dubious to call her plus-size, but that's another issue. Sorry. She's just a hot-looking chick.
Her title. And I'm prepared to acknowledge it.
Okay.
Anyway, awkward scenes when she's standing beside Tom Geisner, host of Have You Been Paying Attention? Now, dirty old man's not a phrase I throw
Now, be careful here. Tom's very litigious, so be careful.
Well, he doesn't have a leg to stand on here because he is ogling a woman's breasts, albeit at eyeball height.
What a dick.
For Tom Geisner, he's crossed a lot. You know that Benny Hill sketch where they pat the guy, little guy on the head?
I think you've gone too far.
Just before we do, can I show you, I'm going to play the bit from it where it happened and see if you can pick the moment where Tom eyeballs
ogles
a woman's bosoms.
All right.
Robin, you've done some amazing magazine covers, Sports Illustrated, Vogue. What's next?
I've got something coming out exciting. Can't tell you anything, unfortunately.
Now, I put it...
What a dick.
I put it to you. Tom Geisner's out of control, and in this the hashtag Me Too world we live in, he's crossed a lot.
That's a very big statement you've made. Tom is a very good friend of mine, as you know that. All right, we've got Tom on the line.
Oh, have we?
Yes.
What a dick.
Hey. Tom, are you ready to defend your honour?
How dare you?
Tom, I knew that this was bad news when there was such excitement in the office today. You've made the Daily Mail, Tom. That's big news. Has that ever happened in your career before?
I think that is a first, Jane, but I have to come on and defend myself to you and your plus-sized radio host.
Oh, well, I'm sure you've been ogling my breasts at certain stages too.
Listen, listen.
Now, what was going on? What was going on in your head at the time? What were you thinking?
I'm thinking the producers of this show I host should be sacked. I've told them, stop bringing on these tall women.
Amazons.
I have said all I want as guest quizmasters are child actors, jockeys or Grand Canyon.
But Tom, in all seriousness...
In your defence, she's nearly had your eye out. I mean, look at that.
Her boobs were eye height. Your eye height, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it was actually really amusing me when I saw it. And I thought, oh, no one will notice. It might be just me noticing it. Doing Daily Mail.
Did you get any feedback at the time, Tommy?
Well, she actually said the phrase, I've got something big coming out. And I thought, yeah, you left nipple. I'm a professional married man. And can I just say this right now on Kennedy Miller? I want to set the record straight. I think in 7 years of this show, the only time I have looked at a guest quizmaster's cleavage in a inappropriate way was when we had Matt Preston on. I say no more.
Well, Tom, I think you defended yourself very well then.
The tag, Australia's Harvey Weinstein, is, I believe, a little
Mick,
harsh,
that is enough.
If that's what people are saying, that's what people are saying.
Come on, you've just stepped over the mark there.
It's going to be a quiet dinner for you tonight, Tom Geisner.
Tom, congratulations on newfound fame in the Daily
Would you like to apologise to Robin Lawley? Is there anything you'd like to say to Robin Lawley, who's probably in therapy right now?
Well, she's actually with me now, but I'll go.
What a dick.
Thank you, Tom, and a great show last night.
Apart from that, it was a very good show, Tom. Congratulations. Well, there you go. He seems contrite.
Very, very contrite.
Give us a call, 133353. Who do you think's made a bit of a dick of themselves?
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The great Jonathan Thurston's going to join us soon. Andrew Daddo in the second hour.
Cannot wait.
Kennedy Malloy.
133353. We're still right in the middle of...
What a dick.
I've got a quick one for you. This idiot who tried to kiss Lee Sales on the lips. Dave, come on.
Bang. Oh, yeah, what a dick.
So the story was she was hosting for the... she's done it for 4 years. Hosted a charity event. She was up doing it, and one of the people from the foundation, I believe, got up.
Pretended to offer his cheek, and at the last minute swept and went bang.
Full-on lip kiss.
I have one question for you. Was it Tommy Gleisner?
What a dick.
Was it Tom? Was it Australia's Harvey Weinstein?
Is that what you're calling Tom, him?
He is.
He's not.
Was.
Can we just make sure he was nowhere near Lee Sales?
Tommy G.
Because I worry.
No, I don't need to say the name of the guy. He has apologised. He must not have a very good sense of humour because he said, I apologised on the night profusely and Lee accepted. It was an attempt at humour and light entertainment to start the night off.
Blow up in your face, mate.
Oh, hilarious. All right.
Not cool, man.
What have you got?
This is really not cool. The council who slapped parking fines on a charity event for Kath and Kim.
What a dick.
This is terrible.
This is ridiculous.
The council or the guys? This is the Kingston Council, right? This is in Victoria.
In Victoria. Yeah. So there was a wonderful community event.
It was a fundraiser for brain cancer.
It was. Okay.
And it was at the Kath and Kim house.
It was. So people dressed up at the Kath and Kim house and it was near Fountain Lakes. That's where, they were in Victoria.
What a great fun day. What a great way to raise money. What a great cause. What a fun thing to do to dress up as Kath and Kim. Great spirited.
Yeah. The photos look hilarious of everyone dressed up.
Was there any Gary Pools? From Gary Pools Pools?
And you know what? It's not like it was in an area that was very built up. It's sort of almost in a
suburban street. I've been there. I filmed there.
Yes, you filmed there.
It's a suburban street.
They have put bloody parking fines on the people who came to come and watch, some up to $165.
Kingston Council, you are mercenary dicks. You bunch of dicks.
That is awful.
But you know what? How's the karma in life? If you go, people are out there taking time out of their routine to have a bit of fun and to raise some money for a great cause, and you have to go and sting them.
Yeah.
So all that money that they were going to probably give to a fundraiser cancer, they're now going to have to shuffle in to paying your stinking fines.
I cannot stand that stuff. I think it was on a Sunday too, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to know who makes those decisions.
Miserable James Kennedy. What about the Bahamas now? You've got one.
I've got one? Well, it might be related to... Okay, this is... the Bahamas have got... Yeah, all right, because you two are still excited about this. You're not excited about a hurricane.
Well,
that's terrible.
I would like to...
Five people are dead. 13,000 lost their homes in the Bahamas. And we can't even have the president. He doesn't even know what that's
category
about.
Five.
It's a category five. There's not many of those.
And everyone on Instagram.
This is ridiculous. I've walked in, and you two, I thought you were seriously looking up something to do with the hurricanes.
I don't approve of this.
I play it about you and Mick?
What a dick.
What?
You are looking at pictures of your favourite girl, and she happens to be in the Bahamas.
She's in the Bahamas.
Okay,
but not bikini models. Anyone who's ever had a holiday, good-looking girls who've had a Bahamas, are taking, relating selfies of themselves in the bikinis and going, hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to everyone
in the Bahamas.
But it's a lascivious photograph of them in a bikini with big knockers.
Yeah.
Sophia Bavalli, I have to say.
What's her name again?
Sophia.
Sophia Bavalli.
Oh, you're both looking at it.
Look at it.
I'm offended.
Do you know what?
Like
she's
that.
Doing more than you, Jane.
What do you mean?
Well, she's reposting a picture of herself in a bikini. Yeah. And yes, look, it's carnage in the Bahamas, and yes, it's a Category 5, and yes, they've knocked down stuff, but if you can bring...
I'm just looking at other photos,
if you can bring a little ray of sunshine.
Look at this. There's this I've got a whole page of girls, some with their booty out.
Hearts and thoughts.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are with you.
It's a community service, is what she's doing.
So sad to read in the news about Bahamas, one of the most beautiful beaches I've ever visited and been photographed on.
It's like all the chicks who advertised the fire festival.
That's yes, right. It is.
Good luck to everyone in the Bahamas. Yeah. But Jane.
What? You're trying to justify this,
I put it to you.
Please try.
If your house has been knocked down and you've lost all your earthly possessions.
Yeah.
And you don't know where the kids are, and it's kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And you
I
put
love
on your phone, and you go, "Oh, look!
Oh, well, that makes
check
me happy."
Check out Sophia Bavali's cans. All of a sudden,
your day's made. It's a little bit better.
There's something to live for.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
Dave, I'm not getting. You're not even concentrating. Not even
Clayton,
looking at
let's
me.
Take Clayton.
All right,
Clayton. We'll just take him quickly before we go. Clayton, what would you like to add?
Yeah. G'day, Mickey. G'day, James.
Hey, Alan.
How are you going?
Say that the Bendigo Council, they're a dick for banning the boxing girls during the rounds.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, you know what? I agree with that because no one's forcing those girls. They love it. It's probably also aspirational. Some people go, you know what? I'm a really good-looking girl. Other people think so too. I'm trying to get into modelling. Why not? Why can't
that's
you be a boxing girl?
That's a place to wear a bikini at the boxings. Not in the Category 5 in the Bahamas.
It's actually very competitive.
There's a time and a place.
It's a coveted job.
It's tough to do.
It is tough to do.
It's tough to do. And can I say this?
Yes.
It's also a bit of class warfare because no one ever complains at the Tour de France.
So at the Tour de France,
they basically have supermodels standing there next to the yellow jersey winner.
Yeah, that's true.
And they hand over the trophy. And
no
one gives a stuff.
You're right.
But if you do it at a blue collar event, like the thing, all of a sudden, hang on, that's sexist.
Oh, F1 Grand Prix, grid girls?
No, I'm with you on that. That's a very interesting point.
It is. At the top end, I go for your life. Let's have a Pirelli calendar. Let's do what you like. But down the bottom end, no.
Right.
Guys, girls, we all live in a world where.
We've got to change it up.
You know what would be good if Sophia Bavali did the weather for the.
For the
hurricane.
That's to true. Say weather.
So she did a weather in her.
She's like the Al Roker of the bikini world.
Watch out.
She's not quite the Al Roker.
Okay.
I'll give you the tip.
We get the idea. Well done, everybody. A big bunch of dicks out there.
Coming up, Jonathan Thurston, then Andrew Daddo.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All right, you hard at it again last night in front of the telly watching another reality TV show. Have you gone off The Bachelor? What have you done? Is it Bachelor no good?
Oh, Mick.
What about El Dorco?
Oh, Mick.
How is El Dorco?
Oh, Mick. Bachelor's not on until tomorrow and Thursday.
Are you still in love with him? Do you still think this is guys?
It's weird if I would be in love with him because I could be his mum. So let's drop that. Okay. I like him a lot. I think he's a great choice, but I'm not talking about The Bachelor.
Okay, all right.
Everybody's. The success of The Bachelor and dating shows. Married at First Sight is the behemoth because that rated bigger than anything else. So, of course, all networks want their own.
They'll go, we'll go without.
They want their own dating show.
Okay. what's this one about?
This one's called The Proposal, and I didn't watch it last night because I wouldn't waste my time. I watched it online as I was doing chores today, and this was the biggest chore I ever had.
Okay, well, so what happens?
Have a listen to the beginning. Have a listen. This is what I heard, and this is what the show is. Listen.
This is an Aussie love story. In an hour.
In an hour.
To The Proposal. Australia, tonight you're going to witness something incredible. We've matched 8 single men with 1 single woman, Jess. And in 60 minutes, 2 of them are going to propose marriage to her. Everyone's here because they want to get married. But will she say yes? And if so, to who? That's what we're here to find out. This is not a game. This
is come off it.
This is true love.
What? Yeah. This is not a game in 60 minutes.
60 minutes.
You meet
8
someone.
Guys, yeah. 2 propose.
Yeah, but you don't, if you're the guys, you don't see her. She's behind a screen.
Oh, jeez.
So she sees them. So they all trot out.
Was she in like a burqa or something?
No,
or?
She's, you know, an attractive woman.
Well, how do you know she's attractive?
Because we see her.
Right.
And, oh, she
Can I propose? Can you call a phone a friend? Can I be?
Just let me get through it. It's too late. It's too late.
Can the studio audience see her?
No, have a listen to this show. She goes, I'm 34 and I just want to find love. Oh, by the way, I've got 2 grown-up daughters. Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to tell the guys I've got daughters.
And you just see the guys disappearing. Oh, they don't know.
No, she said I'm not going to tell them because I really want to.
This is false
pretenses. I want them to love me for who I am.
Do they know?
Mind you, this is over the space of 1 hour. Let's just remember that. Okay. Wow. So they trot the actors, I mean the guys out. And then it's
are they good looking at least? Or what are they?
No.
Give me a typical, what's a guy? I'm Reg, I'm
I don't want to seem silly, but a lot of Uber drivers seem to be trotted out on stage.
What does that mean?
What are the Uber drivers getting a drive-by for?
Explain that. What's the profile of an Uber driver?
Well, all different nationalities.
That's a bit of a...
All different nationalities is what I'm going to say.
Well, and, so is that an issue, do you think?
A few nongs.
Do they declare that? Do you think that'll be an issue? So the screen's going to come back and...
then they have a segment, right? There's eight blokes and they're just stupid. They're all dumb. I don't know why they're there. Then they have to strip down.
Another go at Uber drivers.
They have to strip down.
What are they stripping down for?
Oh, because in case you go to the beach, she's allowed to check out what you look like on the beach.
Can she cup your testicles and make you cough?
Practically. Let's hear what happens next. So you have to choose two out of the lot.
Does she strip down?
No, she sits there eating popcorn, getting her rocks off. Have a listen to the next thing.
Well, we are about to find out. Let me remind you that an hour ago, Harrison, Nathan and Jess had never met. Jess has heard them at their most raw.
I will take her heart.
Seen them stripped bare.
Someone's got to do it and I'm out to impress.
Now she must decide. Will Jess leave engaged to be married or are hearts set to break?
Set to break?
Have they seen her yet?
No. So how can anybody...
Are they still in their underpants?
They got their clothes on at this stage.
When the screen comes back, are they still in their underpants?
No, so she's piffed their six of them. Then two. So two blokes have to get on their knee and propose to her. And she's misjudging.
When does they get to see her?
Well, she comes out when it's only two left, right?
Right.
She comes out.
And can they...
No, they can't go anywhere.
Can they bail?
No. They are locked in.
Really?
So then, because they have said, I'm definitely wanting to get married to someone.
Okay.
So it's down to this one last bloke. And do you want to hear the proposal?
Yes,
which the whole show. Here we go. Have a listen.
I've got butterflies inside me and they're churning around. They're there. So, you know, it feels right. And the minute I heard your voice, I could tell what type of person you were and the qualities and attributes you have. So, you know, I would like to, if I can, ask your daughters something, if that's okay.
Whoa.
Obviously, your mum comes with these two girls. So I just want to double check that you're okay if I propose to your mum tonight.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you'd do the honour, make all my dreams come true and marry me.
Yes.
What? She's met him for less than an hour.
Yeah. Did she choose the one who wanted some mother-daughter action or the other one?
The girls are very young, I must say.
Okay.
Not literally.
What a dick.
Heads up, Jane. No, you told me they were adult children.
They were 16 and 18, something
apologize
like that.
Apologise to anyone who may be offended.
But I didn't think that was relevant to tell you the age.
Well,
anyway, he said he asked for the daughters and that's what got him over the line.
Like something Tommy should...
What a dick.
Anyway... This show, I don't know how long it's
going to
last.
So are you hooked? Is it good, bad? Is it bad?
Sorry.
Would you go on it? And
oh, my God.
Should we watch it? The
next episode was the guy was behind the screen and eight girls were trotted out and I wonder if they had a bikini modelling section.
I certainly hope so.
You could go on it.
Well, I hope so. And I hope those girls in the bikini sent their best wishes to everyone in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Because it's a thing. Well done. It sounds good.
The proposal on 7. Done. You can watch it. It's on again.
8.30
tonight.
Hello.
Right after
see
dogs behaving very badly. Yes, Jonathan Thurston's next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jonathan Thurston. One of the all-time rugby league greats.
Too good!
He made his NRL debut back in 2002 and would go on to play 323 NRL games, become the first ever four-time Dally M medalist.
The game's highest honour.
The first ever three-time winner of the Golden Boot Award for the world's best player.
Thurston to choose from with Coote. He hits it. He's done.
Two premierships, 37 State of Origin matches for the Maroons and 38 tests with the Kangaroos. He's just released a young readers edition of his best-selling autobiography titled JT, The Making of a Total Legend. And he joins us now. Please welcome to the show.
Rugby League Immortality.
Jonathan Thurston.
Well, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Jonathan.
JT.
How are you doing?
G'day, how are you?
I do like the formal Jonathan. Yeah, is that all right that I speak?
I'm very formal. I prefer JT. And you must have writer's cramp by now. You keep knocking these things out quicker than we can keep up, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Really well. It's been a busy couple of months.
Yeah, it has been. Congratulations, you've had a baby since we talked to you last. How's all that going?
Yeah, that's right. She's 6 months old now, Remy.
Does that mean you've got all girls?
Four girls. Four girls.
How did your Father's Day go?
I got spoiled.
Yes, oh, you should.
I had a really good day, thank you.
Do you get on the barbecue much?
I do, actually.
And I know this. Well, you used to be a butcher's assistant, as you call yourself. That's true, isn't it?
That is true, yes. I used to help the butcher out at Coles and Grand Central in Toowoomba. So that was my first job as soon as I finished high school.
What's the best cut of meat, mate? Is it a flank steak? Is it really like a flank? What's the best?
I'm an eye fillet man. So.
Oh, I'm a ribeye girl. So,
eye
you know.
Fillet? Pardon me, Your Majesty.
Hey, look, what I like, JT, also is that this is big news for you because your beautiful book, I say it's a beautiful book, your autobiography, was a hard copy and it was the number one best-selling Australian memoir of 2018. Well, can you believe that, mate? That's amazing.
I know, it is amazing.
Say a lot about how popular and what an important figure you are to so many people out there who want to hear and learn about your life.
It's very
experience.
Complimentary.
And now,
well, you've made it easier for us to be on the beach because now it's the paperback version's come out,
right?
And we can have a look at that. But more interestingly, there's another version come out called JT: The Making of a Total Legend, and it's a young reader's edition.
How's it vary? What's the essential difference, JJ?
So the autobiography was pretty raw. Had a lot of personal things in there, and a lot of, I suppose,
mature adult things. Stuff. Yeah.
Adult stuff, yeah, that's right. And then, it's obviously the junior version is G-rated and more of my life story and less of the, I suppose, scandals.
Yeah. Now, what is the message or what is it? You're trying to communicate to your younger fans and the younger readers out there. What's the underlying principle of the book?
I think a bit like my story is that, you know, never give up on chasing your dreams. I encountered a lot of setbacks through my schooling. Yeah. And I think there's some really positive messages in there as well. You know, I had an opportunity to go to a different school for further my schooling, and they took one look at my report card and said I couldn't come to a school like this with a report card like that.
Yeah.
So they said if I got my grades to a satisfactory level and improved my behaviour, then I'd have another interview at the end of the year, and I did that in year 10, and they accepted me for year 11 and 12, and that's when my schooling started.
JT, I've got teenagers in year 11 and 12 at the moment, and I'm going to shove this book right in front of them so they can read it because I think sometimes people forget the struggle and how hard it is. But I'll tell you what I'm so impressed by. What a great idea to do a younger version of an autobiography. That's the first. Sure. I've never heard of that before. I think that's inspiring.
Yeah, I know. I know because I've had a lot of parents say to me, you know, I'm giving the autobiography to the kids, and I'm like, oh, there's some things in there that they probably shouldn't be reading. But you know, we came up with this idea of bringing out the junior version of it, and it was only released last Monday and the Monday before. So
it's out in stores now. We haven't received our copy yet, so we're flying blind. That's okay. Is it out as we speak?
Yeah, that is correct.
Right, I'll pass it on to my kids. And good for you. We're really proud of you. And
good man.
Next time, we'll hope to see you in the studio.
And a great role model and a communicator for kids and of course Indigenous kids all over Australia. Just quickly, who takes the chockies? Who wins the NRL this year?
Well, at the start of the year, I tipped the Roosters, but I'm liking Melbourne now, so Melbourne. I'll have to change.
I'm sure they'll change the rules before the end to somehow outlaw Melbourne or the way they tackle.
JT, thanks again.
Points. Good on you, JT.
It's the autobiography and JT, thank the making much. Of a total legend.
It's out now.
Good on you, JT.
Thank you.
Jonathan Thurston joining us there on Kennedy Malloy. Coming up, Andrew Dapper.
Drive home that's always surprising. This
is Kennedy Malloy.
All thanks to Makita and their cordless power garden range. You can find your authorised dealer at makita.com.au. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy here.
Hey, coming up, Andrew Datto, my old school chum. He's got a long and varied career. I'm going to talk. Can I talk about golf, or am I not allowed to talk about golf?
Yeah, I want to hear
it. Why would you say that? Why do you look at me?
I don't know.
Have I ever dissed or said anything?
It's like working for a regime around here sometimes.
I beg your pardon. You take that back.
I have to run everything by the board.
That is rubbish. Take it back. I sound like a cow.
You don't sound like a cow.
I do. I never crush your golfing dreams.
You've been crushing my dreams.
God's sake. It's really, I just want people to be in my shoes sometimes.
Hey, now, well, maybe we could do that as a prize. Someone fills in for you every so often.
To find out what it's like.
To find out what it's like.
To look at you all the time,
to fly this close to the sun. To be in my orbit. To
say aura.
To smell that rarefied air.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Listen to you. Yes, we've got Andrew Datto coming up.
He's coming up. Hey, we've got a few socials.
Yes.
Quite a few people reacting to the angry vegan.
The angry vegan. She's amazing. I'm going to get that woman a gold Logie, by the way. That's my plan.
Here's a good one from Facebook, Craig Blanchard. Can we, Mick GoFundMe, my Mick GoFundMe, the vegan's neighbours? Now, I'm prepared to do that. $500
Yeah, yeah.
$500
That's a lot of meat trays.
What do you do?
To
big barbecue.
A barbecue. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to get the weather report to wait till she's downwind.
Yes.
So it'll occur.
Well, I don't understand.
It'll occur on the day when she's downwind.
Just get a big fan.
But what's the law? What law says she can't do it, by the way? I'm really thinking about it again. It's doing my head in.
Why? How could you get to the Supreme Court and say stop?
How can you tell someone not to play basketball? Or smoke a cigarette.
The most Australian pursuit of all time is a backyard barbecue.
And she's got, if she wins, this country
is stuffed. I agree.
This country is ridiculous.
She's taking it to the High Court. She's been to the Supreme Court. So
I'm furious.
I'm furious too.
That we should get in, maybe we should, you know, I'll hire the MasterChef chefs to go around. They're free.
They're not talking to you.
Oh, the judges.
Why are they not talking to me?
They don't like you. If I ask them, they'll do it, but I don't think they'll.
Why are they?
They won't take your call.
Can we get the three of them on the show, please? I would like the three of them on the show. I'd like to know what they're doing now. I'd like to find out what they're doing
next. I don't believe you. You keep saying that with a smirk on your face.
You know I like
Gary Meehan's coming in anyway. Right. You ask him.
Well, I will. I can't believe that another network hasn't just holes bowls picked
them
up.
But you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Well, let's ask them, Jane.
All right. Well, let's do it, Mick.
All right. Okay. Mummy and Daddy are fighting. We are going to take a break and come back with Andrew Datto next.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. What an hour it promises to be. Guess what? Bad parenting. Been involved in some? Believe it or not, I have.
Over the years, too.
You wrote the book.
Well,
we'll take your calls, 133353, if you've been involved in an incident of bad parenting. What have you got you're sitting on? You want to do something about smells? What's your thing about smells?
That there's something amazing that when you smell something, it makes you buy something. You know, people bake bread in a house when they're trying to sell a house, and it evokes a good feeling and makes you stupidly want to buy
a corpse
something.
That's been out for 3 days, left
that
on the
kind of thing. That's exactly,
kind of
Mick. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking
heading
about.
In the right direction?
Yeah, thanks
well,
for
we
that.
Might mention Dior's new
Yes, why have people outraged?
Caused outrage. Well, I think the American Indians may. They're not
really
so outraged, but people are outraged on their behalf.
Right.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
Also,
Adelaide, what is going on?
Oh, my
on?
God, South Australia tourism. I'm not sure it's the way you really want to sell a good time in South Australia.
No.
They've got a miserable old man sitting by himself.
Going the blub. That's how you're advertising.
No, there's plenty of fun things in SA. Hey, you can ring up and tell us about them too when we're ready.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Our next guest, Andrew Datto's career in entertainment began in the late 80s with The Factory on the ABC.
A camera, a brand new mini, a thing called a mini cam that you go and put on motorbikes around cameras, around racetracks. This is not a good morning.
These days, when he's not filming docos in places like the Antarctic or touring the world's golf courses, he's writing books, having penned over 25 to date. His latest junior fiction series, Atticus Fantasticus, is in stores today, and he joins us now. Please welcome to the show, Andrew Datto.
Hello, mate. How are you?
What a welcome.
There it is.
That was just great.
Well, you know, you've been in the business a long time now, as we all have, so we've had to skim the resume. We've left out quite a few.
We have left out quite a few.
No, I'm serious. That was a really lovely introduction.
I'm glad.
My pleasure.
Wow, thanks.
Well, we go back even further than that. Let's, before we get to your book, by the way, congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
It's a great thing to do. I've had a flip and I can't wait to get it to my boys. So they're right in the zone, right?
Yeah,
they're 7 years old.
They're right in the wheelhouse.
Perfect. So, well, let's get on to it now. Well, let's talk about it now.
No, we can talk about it. We'll get to the book.
We'll get to the book. But I want to, people won't know this. I bring it up from time to time on the show. But we have been friends for a long time. Since, in fact, I would say grade five.
That's far back.
We were Mount Eliza Primary School. And then we went to...
Now, set it up because you all grew up in the same area, not only as the Daddos, there's the Malloys, the Daddos, and the Rains.
And the Rains. Well, we all went to Peninsula, which was our senior school.
And
we were all in the same zone, weren't we?
I know this is a bit off thingo, but do you remember borrowing my black parka and going into the middle of the oval and doing an Elvis Presley impersonation?
What the
because
hell?
Someone said to you, you look like Elvis, and I happen to have a black parka, which was the closest thing anyone had to leather. And I've just...
It doesn't sound like one for the money, two for the show, Mickey's off.
It doesn't sound I think I paid for that quite handsomely.
Were you in similar
We're in the same
years.
Same year. So Andrew, of course, as a twin brother Jamie.
Yes.
And we were best friends at school. Mm. We used to go to each other's parties.
Well,
we used
fall
to hang
out.
Out.
What happened?
The Gobles.
The Gobles, Cam Goble.
The dog kennels.
The kennels.
Smoking Darries.
Think of thieves.
You do go back a long way.
We moved to America at one stage when we were kids. What happened there?
So we went in form two. So I think we lasted, or maybe form three.
Yeah. And this is with your family, with your dad's work?
Yeah, and then when we came back, we didn't go back to Mount Eliza. We went to
Dead to us.
And now what I've always found, you know that, and it's not, people weren't being, well, they were trying to be funny, using the Daddos as a punchline because there were so many of you. But what the fact was...
Hang on. You did.
Did I? Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Probably
I did. No, you guys did. No, people still ask me about the D-generation. They go, remember that time you went on the D-gen and they said we're going to have a show with no Daddos in it and it's going to be really funny and really good.
Andrew.
And then there's a... And I open it, and I go... Hey, does anyone want a coffee or something? And everyone goes,
oh my God, it's you. But what I was going to say is it was really unusual. What's unusual is all of you went into showbiz or something artistic besides being your sister and also Jamie is an artist.
But
you've got Lockie, you've got Cam and yourself all in showbiz and that's probably why, you know.
Yeah, no complaints. I mean, no one sits there goes, oh, it's not fair, we get picked on.
But did you want to be in showbiz when you're
you were like a child prodigy. You were working.
What are you talking about?
You were working from before you left school, were you? You were in ads and you were doing stuff.
Well, you're really talking Andrew up.
And then your big brother Cam went over and he was in Models Inc. and we were all going, oh, whoa.
Yeah, no, Cam went in first and he
taught match.
That guy taught me how to fart on cue. And look at him now.
He did. It was called the method.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
This is what happens. But I've got four boys and one girl, like your family.
Good
this
times.
Is what I'm doomed for, yes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, if you see a condenser mic sort of take
lurking.
That, sitting up in the middle of the
I'll
living
know what's
room
happening.
On record and play and pause, go, all right, listen, I know what's going on here.
But you have stayed in the business for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, people probably don't know. How many books have you written? Because I've got some bizarre figure that's over 25.
Yeah, so... It's just one of those things. It started and one led to another.
What was your first book?
The first one was called Sprung.
And what was that about?
It was about the story of a sort of 12 short stories about a kid who was naughty. And it was literally...
It was an autobiography,
wasn't
it?
It about Mick Malloy, was it?
No, it was literally writing the stories of growing up.
So,
one of four boys and then the stuff that we used to do and... You know, so it was, and that worked, and then I ended up doing picture books, and I spent the last 2 years writing young adult novels, you know, like that.
Well,
that's a tough area
because teenagers are so cynical about it, then you've got to crack it.
Yeah, so that was good, but it was intense, and then sort of sit down and get this idea of a 10-year-old pirate with no parents, no teachers, just getting out there with his mates.
Is that after a few wines?
No. Actually, no.
Look, when we come back, we're going to go to a song and in reference.
I want to mention that. We mentioned we've got to talk more about the book in a minute, but we thought it's 40 years. Do you understand this? 40 years since The Boys Light Up.
I can't believe it.
It was released by the great James Rain and Australian Crawl, who were all part of our alma mater.
Yeah, yeah.
And the beach we used to go to was where the cover was filmed.
With the naked girl
on the cover. And five creepy guys in waist-deep water ogling her. Who knew that would ever date?
In winter.
In winter. But also
40 years.
We used to know 40 years, which is aging us now. Yikes. But do you remember too, the beautiful people? We knew all the families that song was written about. Yeah. I feel connected in many ways.
And Hoochie Gucci, Fiorucci, Mama. And when you sit there going, and the back is arched, those, you're going, oh my God.
I was there.
Oh my God.
All right, let's play Australian Crawl for the Daddos.
The Rains and the Lone Boy.
By the way, with 40 years of this album coming out, James Rain's doing a tour of this album next year. Bang. Get all the details at Kennedy
Malloy. He's never sounded better either.
You got it. Right.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy and Andrew Davis.
Hey, now you're your twin brother, Jamie. I love Jamie. Top bloke. As twins, I'm a father of twin boys now, they're seven. I'm asking you for some Yoda-like advice, for the raising of young twins. Is there anything you can give me or tell me that can crack the code for me with these little bastards?
Talk to them. Yeah. Talk to them. Like, learn to talk to them now.
Right.
Like, so because when they're 13, 14, and it's not like...
you'll get nothing.
you can't sit down when they're slightly older and say, hey, look, I want to talk to you. So you have to learn to practice talking now, and then they'll be fine. And read to them because, and I know I'm an author, but you are the secret to their literacy and their ability to read.
Well, that's something that you've got down pat, and you read to your boys, and they love books.
And we also write stories. So I do, like you, I'm exercising that muscle with them where I go, let's make up a story, and I make them... invent the story. So instead of reading in bed, we go get together and they make up a chapter and then the next day we do another chapter. So it's good. So tell us about the book.
Well, I can sum it up for you. Can I sum it up with a quote? That is a very lovely quote that I'm going to say on the book, and people will understand this. I know all these books. It's evoking Roald Dahl.
Jeez.
Mixed with the 13 Story Treehouse, which is a winner in our house. Atticus Fantasticus is a zany romp for confident and reluctant readers alike.
Yeah. All right.
Now, that sums it up very well.
Yeah, so it's a...
high praise there. I hope you know what you're doing. That's pretty good company.
I've never had so much fun writing anything, and he's a 10-year-old pirate, and he gets to... So they effectively invent things that the parents will be able to tell the kids about. There's Hulk and Hogan, for instance.
Yes.
Kids don't know about Hulk and Hogan, so Dad goes, there was this guy called Hulk Hogan. There's a captain.
So they then ask, they inquire, and Dad can tell you, fill in some space.
Yeah, I actually reckon it's the dad's job or the mum's job just to retell the stories.
Yes.
And then there's a captain who they will know, Captain Trumpty, who looks somewhat like Donald Trump. It's not. And he wears a nappy and lives on an island by himself and he's an idiot.
He's like a toddler.
Yeah, it's a toddler. He's a toddler.
So he's a toddler.
And he's treasure that goes, please let me keep my wigs, right? And that's his treasure, his golden wigs. So it's just, look, it's really
fun. It's fun for the parents and it's fun for the kids.
It is, and what comes from it too, I'm just saying, you say that you do teenage literature as well, but writing for kids... it's really hard and you can't just do it. You've got lots of experience behind you, so congratulations for doing it. It also evokes questions beyond your book and anything to get kids off the PlayStation.
That's the other thing with twin. Like, we didn't really have PlayStation, did we? We had Pong.
But that was at the fish and chip shop. It wasn't
really
in your house.
I remember us flying kites.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's what we had for... Yeah. You know.
So, like, as much time off games and into books and plain story. Like, look, you had a brilliant childhood.
Correct.
Like, you really did.
Yeah, we did.
A really good... So, just tell them the story. That's the other thing. Tell them the story so at least they don't feel like...
They love hearing stories about their parents.
Do you remember the books that you loved as a child? Well, the ones that you...
Yeah, we had Enid.
Enid.
And then a book, and a book that I've given you credit the whole way through, the book That Was Then, This Is Now.
Yes.
That you gave me to read in Form 1, which I then read recently, which is basically kids who are drug dealers working out of a bloody, out of a snooker room.
Andrew, can I get this right? Are you telling me that in Year 7, Form 1... Mick Malloy gave you a book to read.
A book to read.
I thought a packet of smokes at least would be it.
And it was the first book that I read where I could actually, not because I hung around in
drug pool
rooms, but it was the first one I realised, we're all changing. Mm. And, you know, we're growing apart and all that sort of... And
the Thornbirds did that for me. Yeah. Colin McCulloch, that was all the sex scenes that we did.
Yes.
You've actually had a very strong...
I'm happy to have helped in
literary
some,
impact.
Some
thanks,
small
Mick.
Way.
Good Andrew. God.
Now, just before we let you go, golf. You did a golf show and I've got to say, I think everyone goes, why don't you do a golf show? It'd be great. I think it's the only golf show I've ever actually enjoyed because you brought a bit of humour and light and shade to it. You know, on one week you'd be going, how hard are these hickory clubs? Yeah, yeah. What's the best old driver to use? And you do all these challenges. And it was bloody fantastic. And then you left. What happened?
No, no, I didn't. They sacked me. Oh, so thanks really? For bringing it, well, thanks
idiots.
For bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They, well, it was the discussion.
I thought it was excellent.
Why, you're too real
for TV. No, the discussion went something like, listen, we're just, you're off contract and we're going to use people who are on contract. So it was a financial thing. And now the whole show is.
Well, that's dumb.
The whole show's gone, which is
well,
a shame.
You should do another one because I think you did it very well.
Good
and I think there's a lot of people who would enjoy it. Look, where are you playing at the moment? Tell me, because you love golf. If you're not reading, I'm guessing you're out on the course.
No, I'm about to play in the Hickory Championships.
yeah, of course.
The reason it worked was because it was about love of the game, and I genuinely adore.
You can't fake that. You can't fake passion.
I love the people. I love the. Oh my god.
The stories. The history.
It's so boring.
I like the swearing. Swearing, but it's a really creative swearing when you miss it. Hey, mate, we could talk for hours. We'll get you on again.
Great.
I'm going to get a copy of those for my boys for Christmas.
It's Atticus Fantasticus.
What age group is the – who's in the wheelhouse
for this? Literally, it starts at 7 and should finish at 12. Cool. And then it should leap to adult because it's literally full of – well, I've tried to fill it with adult jokes.
Good on you.
You know, just for us.
Can't wait.
Good there he is, Andrew Datto.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'm up for fathering you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
Well, this is in honour of you. You're in the Hall of Fame.
Probably.
Bad parenting. Come up all the time.
I think bad's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
Experimental.
It's not your strong suit. It's not your strong suit. Here's a good story about bad parenting. Dad reveals how he tells his twins apart. A very confused new dad has taken to Reddit to ask if he's out of line after he got into strife with his wife for not being able to tell his newborn twins apart. Talking to the Am I an Asshole subreddit, the anonymous dad explained his surprising conundrum. My wife gave birth to twins. Everything went great. I spent a lot of time with them, but I ultimately had to go to work after about 2 months. So I haven't been around them as much as I would be, writes the stress out dad.
The stressed out dad.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are. We care. Okay. He explains that his wife dresses them the same despite his requests for her to dress them differently, women. And due to them being almost identical, he can't tell them apart.
Okay.
Any time I call one the wrong name, she gets mad, tell me about it, and ignores me for an hour. She spends all day with them. Typical.
What, taking care
spends
of
all
them?
All day with them every day, so she knows exactly which one is which. So instead of my wife being mad at me, here it comes, I drew a little dot with a marker on one twin's right hand and one on the other's left hand, and I made sure to have the names right. Now I can identify them in a lineup.
But that sounds really sensible.
Right dot, left dot. Mm. And you go, oh, that'll be Fred, that'll be Lenny.
I think that's very good parenting,
well, he's
actually
getting an absolute. Oh,
what?
Okay.
What have you done?
Done something similar, have you?
Oh, well. Maybe when I had twins, I was in hospital.
Hang on. Wait. What do you mean?
Well, when I...
What did you do?
I had twins, but and they were very alike. They're not identical, but they were really, really alike.
They are not identical. They're as identical as Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger in twins.
When they were
twins.
Born, they were they really alike. And they were a little bit
one's
underweight.
One's a girl, one's a boy.
They were a little bit underweight, and I was told you can't take both these twins home until they're both up to weight.
Yep.
And then there was a crazy mix-up at the hospital. Oh. And, I don't know. I maybe don't even have the right children, but I did read somewhere. I put nail polish, just a bit of red nail polish on one of the fingernails of one of the twins so I could tell them apart. So I knew who was getting fed and who wasn't.
Why don't you just put a bone through the nose or
it's all something. Right.
Why don't you tag
didn't
one?
Didn't matter.
Well,
it didn't matter in
how
the
do
end.
You know, one of them will be carrying
if,
that.
If one
them.
Is really my child.
Do you know, the only time I struggled, even not so much now, but when they were younger, when they weren't in photographs, when the two of them weren't in the same photo, because my boys are identical.
They are.
So I pick them out of a lineup any way you
they're
like.
They're next to each other
and
around.
Even if there's a photo of two of them, easy peasy, Japanesey. Yeah. If There's only one of them in the photo.
That's incredible.
I have to sit there and go, my God.
The twins are fascinating on every level there, but we digress because what we're talking about is bad parenting.
Yeah, well, and you've... Yeah. Give yourself
Look,
a prize, Joan.
I've raised the bar.
Interesting.
I admit. I'm quite proud of it.
On one of your twins so you can...
It came off.
No, Joan.
I sucked it off in the end.
Why did you just brand... Why did you just brand him?
I wasn't branded.
Just running right in the arse. Yeah. With a hot poker.
They're okay. Happy.
Now,
they're
bad parenting. Here we go. Rhonda's on the line. Rhonda, have you been a bad parent?
I think I have, yes.
Okay, what was the incident?
Well, when my sons were 2 and 5, they were playing hide and seek. The 5-year-old decided to hop in the dryer. And the 2-year-old, he was just a bastard of a kid.
You win.
He turned it on, slammed the door shut, turned the dryer on, and thank God he only got it onto the, the 15-minute...
He spun round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And being 5, he was a neat fit, so he couldn't actually tumble. Rhonda. He just was going round and round.
Rhonda, you didn't get a tap, tap, tap on the door from Docs, did you?
I actually got tap, tap by a priest the next day. Someone had died in the town and my name had come up.
Your name had come up?
Because my son was found in the dryer.
I thought you might be responsible. I'll tell you what, there's a mad woman called Rhonda up the road. You might want to go and talk to her.
I'll tell you what, you might want to tap-tap on the priest's shoulder too, by the way.
Jeez,
thank you, Rhonda. I think Rhonda gets a prize for that.
Give Rhonda a prize.
Prize pack coming your way, Rhonda. Great story.
133353, by the way, if you want to get involved.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you going?
Yeah, we're good. Bad parenting. Are you happy about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
what have you done?
Not so much me, but my parents. So we used to, do you remember back in the day we had ball shooters?
Candles.
Yeah. Fireworks.
Like 10 ball shooters in 15. They'd just throw out a ball a couple of times.
The good old days, Dave, yeah?
Yeah. So we used to go out the front yard and have ball shooter fights. Go down the shop, get a stack each and light them. But Mum and Dad used to come out the front to watch. But they would make us go in and get our old cotton footy jerseys on because they're hard and light.
To protect your skin, just in case.
Now, that's good parenting.
If we did catch on, it took a little bit longer. But if we had mates over to the corner as well...
Dad didn't have to rush enough.
We had to take our jumpers off and give it to them so they didn't catch on fire as quick, so they didn't have to tell their parents.
Dave, that is hilarious. Wow. We've got a prize for you because that is just nuts.
And you've got tickets to Under the Southern Stars, which is coming. Tickets go on sale September 9. That is live, Bush, Stone Temple Pilots and more.
I was involved in an incident when I was young and living in Canberra. He used to have double bungers. Remember double bungers? It was like the closest thing to a stick of dynamite you get from a fireworks shop. Anyway, we used to put them in the big red... post boxes, the public post boxes.
Oh, right.
That is so destructive.
Now, listen, we used to put them in there because of the echo and the boom. However, guess what? Messing with the mail is a federal crime.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. What about all these letters, people breaking up or said someone's died?
Could you imagine the look of joy on my parents' face as I get taken home and charged with a federal crime?
You never fail to amaze me.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And bad parenting. If you are a bad parent, you can fess up.
I taught my boys the 2 weekends ago how to make a fire and start a golf cart.
Well done.
That's good for you.
Yeah, there's
what could go wrong?
Might be a little premature.
There's 7. Yeah. Well,
good for you. No, I like your style. Hello, Scott.
Love your work.
Thank you.
This is bad grandparenting. But,
love it.
I got caught pinching one of my grandfather's Camel no-filtered cigarettes when I was about 11, and put a bucket on my head and said, "You have to smoke the whole cigarette."
Did that teach you?
You now have an electronic voice box and one lung.
Wow, that's hardcore.
But that was old school justice, wasn't it?
That was old school.
That's like the old, if you're catchy, you're going to smoke the whole packet.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that achieved. Feels good. Hello, Julie.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Julie, what did your terrible mother do to you?
Well, we grew up on property and I used to wander off with the dog, so my mum used to chain me to the clothesline.
Oh, hang on a minute.
What?
Okay.
Just so you wouldn't wander away. Did she give you enough rope? Like, basically?
Yeah, I had a tether. I still had a couple of metres that I could run with the dog.
And did she leave a bowl of water out for you or something?
That's funny.
Like, Julie, every now and again with a drink.
Julie, you sound pretty adjusted. You coped?
Yeah, I have. And then I did get my comeuppance because my son decided when he was about 8 months old to wander off with our dog. And the road brought him home.
Good on you. No chains.
Good luck tying him to the Ills Hoist.
Thank you.
Let's.
I think we've got time for Diane. Yeah. Hi, Diane.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
Diane.
Good. Bad parenting. What'd you do?
Oh, yes. My youngest still has a speech impediment, and therefore intense therapy, all the rest of it.
Yep.
And we're about to have our Christmas concert. She's graduating from preschool, and she has to sing I Can Sing a Rainbow. She's yellow. We're practicing, and she starts singing these stupid things, like going, and I'm just going, this is ridiculous. Patient for the first 3 days. Then it's, if you're not going to speak properly, go to your room. You have to figure out. So, I'm off to that. So that's bad enough. We get to presentation night, we're all standing around there, and there I am, Mother of the Year, and they say, and now for our special surprise, we're going to sing it in Chinese. So she had
You are a terrible mother
year,
Diane.
And we're going to give you a prize, Diane,
prize
for being mother of the year.
Coming your way as well. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And it's all thanks to Makita's cordless power garden range, where you can buy your authorised dealer, makita.com.au.
We're going to get to this. This
right
is my new favourite bit of the show, where we talk up Makita. So a survey came out, Jane Kennedy, about the most loved brands from women.
Ooh.
And it's got your stuff in there, like Woolworths and Google. No. They didn't need to release the most trusted brands for men.
Why not?
Because we all know it's Makita.
Wow.
We all know if you've got a shed,
jeepers,
it's chock-o-friggin-block with the goodies they've been working on down at Makita.
And we get to talk about Makita.
Have your Dyson?
Yeah, I have my Dyson. Inside.
Yes. Makita.
Outside
is
my because it's cordless.
Okay, can I tell you my new favourite item?
What's that?
You want to get me this, you can get me this. I know it's past Father's Day. The cordless turbo blower.
Yes.
Oh, I love
the
blower.
The leaf blower, or as I call it, the Italian rake. thing is cordless. Do you know what I'll do?
What?
I'll go out the front and do the nature strip.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go inside, go in the bathroom and do my underpants.
God help us. Do you know what? That's actually a ridiculous thing to say.
I am
going to
blow everything in my house.
You don't need to bring it inside.
Into a corner.
We've got optimum grip, by the way.
I beg your pardon.
You have optimum
six-speed
grip.
Settings.
Six-speed. Wow.
And you know what? You know what's great?
Fun to six.
You know they're reversible.
What?
Leaf blowers are reversible.
You can suck stuff as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Haven't you done that before? That's so satisfying.
Okay.
Many options.
Yeah, that's why I like the Dyson.
Right, okay.
It sucks it all up. You can do
but
it
I'm
with
talking
the
about the Dyson.
I know.
We're talking about the Makita.
Turbo
can
blower.
Can you get me one, please?
Well, it's lightweight. It's got the three-stage telescopic nozzle as well, Mick. So that's right in your
wheelhouse. Do you know what, too? I've got to tell you, this cordless stuff, this is good for the environment, the cordless.
It is.
I love it.
Oh, you know, neighbors blowing petrol around the
neighborhood. There's no petrol.
You know who will like this? The angry vegan in Perth.
Oh, mate, I'd like to get the cordless turbo blower and blow the air from the barbecue into the
give
vegan neighbour with the Makita. Well, I'm Makita. You've done it again.
Hey, go to makita.com.au to find your authorised dealer, everyone.
You know
go now.
This is not an option, blokes. Do it. Makita.
Dave Lawson and Gary Meehan join us tomorrow. We'll see you then for Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. Powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.